getting into this role of pinch hitting pretty well. Pinch hit last week, pinch hitting again this week. So if you did not get the email or see the email this afternoon, Harris, I always want to call him Harrison. I don't know why. Harris Waterman, they have some sickness in the family, so he is not going to be able to make it tonight, obviously. So Scott and I talked about it and thought I was semi-prepared. We just start our next class tonight, and then we'll reschedule Harris to come, and then so we'll just a trade-off Wednesday that way. So we'll finish our summer series at some point. We'll get with him and figure out when that's going to be. So we're going to start in with the class we're going to do for the fourth quarter tonight. And we, again, we're going to talk about the songs that we sing and what those songs teach us. So tonight probably won't go, it won't go, as I want the whole quarter to go. So there'll be a little more involvement with some people as the quarter goes, so it's not just me up here preaching about songs. But I wanted to, when I started this class, I had kind of thought about doing some introductory things. So I want to do that for a little bit. And then Rodney's supposed to lead singing tonight. You're ready to do that. So I just texted him and said, what songs are you going to sing tonight? So he gave me those. So those are the songs we'll look at in a little while. There's three of them. I might cover two of them. We'll see how much time we have. So I might ask you for some participation tonight as well. But let's get into this and try to focus on what we can find in the songs that we sing and what they teach us. And I got really good participation through people giving me songs. And if you haven't yet and you intended to, you can still go ahead and do that. I have enough, but some people gave me several. And I can pick and choose from those, but I don't want to leave anybody out that wanted to offer up some. We studied recently that we're to use singing to praise God and to teach and admonish one another. And, you know, that's really the main point, praising the Lord and teaching and admonishing one another. So that's going to be the ultimate focus of this. So, but before we get started, Chase, if you would lead us in prayer. So singing is a large part of our worship. When we assemble together at the building, or we might be in our home with family and friends, or sometimes even when you're alone, we can use songs. We can sing praises to God just about any time. There might be times where it may not be real appropriate to break into song in the middle of a Zoom meeting with State Farm employees or something like that, but never know, might do some good, right? But since singing is so important to praising God and for teaching and admonishing one another, we should understand what we're singing. Now let's be honest, there are sometimes we sing songs, there's words or phrases in those songs, and we just over the years have kind of glossed over them. And I'll be honest with you, I've glossed over some things and hope no one ever asks me what I think those mean. I've gotten better about that, so you can go ahead and ask me if you want now. But so let's do a couple of examples just to throw something out here. This is a quote or a line from a song that we sing. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Now we've sung. There are a lot of us in this room have sung that song for years. What song does that come from, by the way? Every blood. believe that song was written in the 1700s, and I can't remember the guy's name exactly. But in first, well, I've got stuff flying everywhere up here. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, I believe is the text that the author of that, and I don't know why I didn't write his name down, took that from. And so the Israelites were in need of deliverance from the Philistines, right? So if you read, if you start in verse 1, you can read about that. And you get down and you find out that the Lord is indeed going to help them. Verse 8, then the sons of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry to the Lord our God for us, and he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, and the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day against the Philistines and confused them so that they were routed before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued Philistines and struck them down as far as below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. So if you look at that song, O Thou Fount of Every Blessing, and anybody know what number that is, Travis? 680? I think you're right. You can't go by sacred selections. We're not going to sing it, but yeah, 680. Thanks, Spencer. So if you read the lyrics to that song, you know, talking about the Lord being the fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never cease, and call for songs of loudest praise. And you go through that, and it talks about how the Lord is a blessing. Verse 2, here I raise my Ebenezer. So if you know that scripture and you know that story, then the line of the song is going to make more sense to you. And he uses words like hither, but you remember this song was written a long time ago, 1758 to be exact, down there at the bottom of the page. By thy help I've come. So recognizing that in your life, you have many blessings from God and that you've reached where you are because of him. So that's one example. Here's another example of a line from a song, and I think this is actually the song title. Night with Ebon Pinion brooded o'er the veil. That's very poetic language. And this song was written in 1854. Somebody could be looking up that number. 220. You fell down on the job. 220 is that song. So, but number one, what does ebon mean? What's pinion mean? What's brooded? What's a veil? So, trying to understand some of those things. So, if you look at what the words mean, what does ebon mean? That's dark. Okay, or black or dark. Pinion, yeah, it's part of a bird's wing. And I think specifically the outer part, I don't know that that matters too much. So kind of thinking wings of darkness. Brooded, now sometimes brood means something else other than what it does in the song. Brooded is to think deeply about something that makes you unhappy. You can brood about something. You're thinking about something that's not very happy. So it's kind of a dark mood. And then veil, what's a veil? V-A-L-E. Yeah, like a valley. Okay. So we have wings of darkness and kind of that somber, unhappy feeling. Brooded o'er the veil. So 220 is that song. And you know what's a good time that we sing that song? What might be a reason we would sing that song? Yeah, so we might sing it before the Lord's Supper quite often. So if you read those things and you think about those things, you think about silence, think about the situation that Christ was in. I'll tell you what, I'll just turn over to Luke and look in chapter 22. Let's see. Start with verse 39. So he's in the garden, and he came out and proceeded as was his custom to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. And when he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but thine will be done." Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." If you look in Matthew's account, we know that this happened three times. He prayed three times, and in between he had gone back and found them asleep. And, he goes up alone. He prostrates himself. He's on the ground. He has his face to the ground, and he's praying fervently because of what's about to happen. He's about to be betrayed. He's about to be arrested. He's about to be thrashed within an inch of his life and nailed to that cross, and he knows it. And he's alone. And it's dark. And there's no sound, maybe except him. I don't know how vocal that prayer was. So if you look at the song, and get that setting and that feeling, you have silence. And you have Jesus lying on his face, suffering and praying. And we sing this song, as Rodney said, trying to remember the sacrifice Christ made, probably before we partake of the Lord's Supper. And if we understand some of the imagery, it's a very impactful and powerful song. And we can sing that in a way to praise Jesus for what he did for us, how he saved us. But we also teach and admonish each other with this song. So it really sets the mood. It should drive your emotion to be thinking about the Lord as you sing that song and what he went through. So the mood, the feelings we should have as we teach and admonish one another with that. So night with Eben Pinion, brooded o'er the veil. Very dark scenario, very somber. All around was silence, save the night wind's wail. So maybe the only thing you could hear was that wind blowing. Poetic license, understand. When Christ, the man of sorrows, in tears and sweat as blood, prostrate in the garden, raised his voice to God. And it goes on to talk about how he was smitten for offenses that were not his own. He took on our transgressions. There's another word in verse 3, Abba, Father, Father. And we see that used in the scripture too. Most likely Abba being a term of endearment, that more that father-son relationship. Let this cup of anguish pass from me, I pray. So the words I brought up just as an example of, do we really understand some of the things that we're reading in these songs or singing in these songs, sets the tone for it. And really, the author of this helps us get in mind, because, what do you say sometimes? If you're going to lead singing before the Lord's Supper, well, back in the day when we used to do that, you say, before we take the Lord's Supper, to prepare our minds to partake of the Lord's Supper. we would sing 220. And understanding what those words mean, those phrases mean, and getting that scene in your head really would help you prepare for that. So in thinking about singing, many times we get too caught up in some other things. Maybe we get too caught up with the tune. Or maybe we get too caught up in our own voices. Or the age of the song. I don't want to sing that song. It's too old. It was written in 1758 or whatever. Or whether or not I like a particular song. Or how many times I've sung it. We can get caught up in that sometimes too. I'm not saying sing the same old song over and over again. How many times you think those of us that are more mature Christians, I mean older by that, how many times have you sung Amazing Grace in your lifetime? Now, we don't sing that song nearly as often as we used to. But, you know, should we get caught up in the fact that Amazing Grace is such an old song, sung it 1,000 times. I don't think we should get caught up in those things. We should get caught up in, does this song appropriately praise God or Jesus? And does this song encourage and or teach us? In addition, we can consider some other things like our abilities when singing praises. I think when we sing, we should sing to the best of our ability. I don't think it should be half-hearted. You know, don't mail it in, so to speak. If we're going to sing praises to God, it ought to be to the best of your ability, the best that you can do, whatever that may be. All right, so I might be able to carry a tune, but my voice quality is not nearly as good as some other voice qualities in here, but it's the best I can do, so that's what I'm going to do. We should consider our feelings about certain songs. You know, what does it do for us when we sing that song? Does it get me in mind of Christ and his sacrifice? Does it get me in mind of looking at 219 across the page? Thinking back to Jesus when he came into Jerusalem and they were praising him. You know, we should also consider the place or where we do it, where we sing. You know, we sing here. We gather here together to worship, and we can sing here, and we do. I don't really ever remember a time where we gathered together on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, or a Wednesday night when we didn't sing at least one song, if not several songs. Or sometimes, you know, we had services where that's all we did, you know, first Sunday nights of the month. So, you know, we do that here. Can you sing praises at home? Absolutely. You don't have to be in this building to sing praises to God. You know, your life should be about worship to God. So sing praises to God. We walk around our house. The Bible doesn't teach us to whistle our praises, but sometimes you get a tune in your head and you might whistle a little bit. Next thing I know, she's probably singing the thing I was whistling. And I don't realize it. And a few minutes later, I'm singing that song to myself. And she might say, why are you singing that song? And we realize we've both kind of been batting it back and forth like a game of ping pong or something. So we'd sing at home, and you should be thinking about it as you're singing, not mindlessly singing it, but go ahead and praise God in song at home. And you can also think about what you're learning from that song. And then, you know, if you sing as a family at home, you can teach and admonish each other at home. You can sing in the car. And a lot of people do. I won't ask anybody to raise their hand. We sing in the car. I sing in the car. I sing in the truck. Or while we're working, for example. Again, I have to watch when you do that, but if I'm by myself, I'm out in the yard or in the shed or whatever, I might be singing. I don't know. It's just something nice to do sometimes. have a memory, and then I want to say something about it, and I get a lump in my throat. Sorry. Jody's dad was real good at that. So sometimes I think he did it to hide his frustration, but anyway. He'd sing. You know, he'd have particular songs he'd sing when he was doing stuff. So, you know, you can do that. And, you know, just make sure you're doing it to praise. Some other things that I think are of use is learning new songs. And I think we've done a good job of that. You know, we got the new book a few years ago, and we learned some new songs. And we have some really capable people in our group. A few not here anymore, but a few still are, that can teach songs. And those that have the courage to try and that learn them and then teach them to other people. And I don't, that's not really my cup of tea, but I like learning new songs. And then getting better at singing them, because we want to use those in our worship to God. And getting better at directing or leading the songs. And, you know, Ryan, for example, has tried to help us, some of us, do that a little bit better. So how do the songs we sing affect us? You know, sometimes you could sing a song and I'm indifferent. I'm indifferent about it. Maybe you feel indifferent, or you think that. I don't know if I care for this song. I can take it or leave it. Or maybe you're irritated that we have to sing that song again. So some of us have particular songs that we like to lead, you know. So you might be able to predict. Some guy might be walking up here ready to call out the songs we're going to sing, and you've already turned to the page. Not looking at anyone in particular. So, but you know what? Don't have the attitude of, sing that. Or, I love the jazzy tunes and the parts, you know, and how they all flow together. Okay, but it's being done to praise, and it's being done to teach and admonish, right? Those, blending those parts together and harmonizing, it makes it very effective. It really does. And we're offering up a sacrifice. We're offering up to the Lord. And we want it to be sweet. We want it to be a soothing aroma to Him. Maybe the song motivates you. You know, some of the songs we sing are more like marches, or almost militaristic, you know. And maybe it motivates you to be stronger, to be more faithful, to want to get out there and to teach others. Sometimes songs that you sing might make you cry, stirs you up to some emotions, and that's okay too. And it could even be because it's a loved one's favorite song that's passed away, or something of that nature. And sometimes we sing songs at funeral services because it was the person's favorite song or whatever. I don't remember the number, but there's a song in this book we sing sometimes. And I think it's called God Help Us Raise Our Children, right? I can't lead that song. There's no point in me trying to lead that song. I have trouble sitting there even singing it because of the emotion that wells up inside of me about it. Scott can lead that song, and he likes leading that song. So if I ever want to sing that song, I know I can ask him to lead it. He can't lead 650 to save his life. I can. So he's asked me to lead it before, because he knows I can do it. I don't know why I can lead that one and get through it. It's just the way sometimes it affects us, and that's okay. Because I think the emotion is what God gave us. We have emotions, so we'll take things seriously, I think. So how do we select songs for worship? Again, preparing for the Lord's Supper. I want to think about that, or to accompany a lesson topic. A lot of the guys are really good about that here. If you're going to be the speaker, or Mason, you might get this text. Hey, what are you talking about today, John? I know what he thought. You know, you might ask the speaker, what are you talking about today? I could pick some songs that would go along with that to kind of complement. I know when Ryan Boyer was here the past week, guys were asking him what to lead. So, but sometimes that can put you in a quandary, because you hear the topic and you're like, I got nothing for that. So, well, there's tons of great songs to worship with in there. And sometimes how do we select them? Might be the favorite. We already talked about that. It could also be based on what's happening. You know, what's going on right now? Maybe there's a song or two that would help us think through or feel through some things. Well, the song I mentioned just a little bit ago, 650, Jesus Draw Me Ever Near. If you're struggling in life for some reason, that's a fantastic song to sing because it talks about, this is difficult. I am having trouble getting through whatever this is. But it's a blessing. Get through to the other side. And there's a line in that song that's like, I can't. It boggles my mind. The treasure of the trial. Why would I think this is a treasure? This thing's driving me crazy. Because it perfects you. It makes you stronger. It's a great song for something like that. Maybe something's happy. You know, a lot of times when somebody gets baptized, we sing, Oh Happy Day, or something like that. So that could be, because, you know, we use these on each other too. We sing Blessed Be the Tie sometimes if we're, you know, just going to part company, or somebody's leaving, or whatever the case may be. So needless to say, this is important, and it takes consideration. So this quarter, we're going to look at what we're going to do. I'm not going to talk just in general every Wednesday, but we're going to take a look at probably three songs each week, and pull out the message of the songs. So I will use the songs that you guys have provided, and we'll discuss what we see in those. We'll discuss the details, and I'm going to try and get those out to everybody through email ahead of time, maybe over the weekend. It won't be this weekend because we're going out of town, but we'll be back Monday. Hopefully I have something out Monday night, late or early Tuesday. And whoever's leading singing, whoever Ben has put down to be the song leader, I'll make sure he has a heads up as to what those are. Because if I'm down to lead singing and if I was in your shoes, I would be sweating bullets thinking, man, there's some songs I'm not going to try. So I know some of you are pretty good with just about anything, but we'll get that worked out. It won't be an issue, okay? So we're going to talk about the songs, discuss them in some detail, and it'll help us understand the songs better, perhaps, as we use them to send up our offering and teach and admonish each other. So a couple of passages that we've looked at several times lately, really. Ephesians chapter 5, kind of starting the last part of verse 18, go through 20. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, which really means drunkenness. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God even the Father. And again in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Okay, so the format of the study, I believe I have covered that. Let me just add a few things. So I asked for songs from the kids. So I emailed, I think I got everybody whose kids were old enough to have an inkling of what was going on. If I missed anyone, I apologize for that, and you can tell me what that song might be that your child would like to hear and to be talked about. It was not my intention to skip anyone that would be capable of that. And of course, lot of you adults did submitted songs as well. So I said I'd choose three songs to review each week, and that will give us about 15 minutes per song, and then time at the end to sing those songs together. So I may be asking some of you to help with presentations, either by speaking or giving me notes. It might depend on who you are. If you selected a certain song and said, hey, let's do this one, I might like to know more about why you picked that song. I might want to pick your brain about it. What is it about that song? Maybe you can give a little testimonial about it or write some notes for me to share. Participate that way. If you don't want to do that, you don't have to. I'm not going to force anyone to do that. What is it about the song that is special to you? And we can do that anonymously if you'd rather. But I may also share who picked it. So tell me if you don't want me to. But the kids, I would really like to share who picked the song, okay? So parents, I would like to say this song was picked by so-and-so because I would like for them to feel engaged and be a part of things, because if one of your children, whether they're 5 years old or 12 years old, picked a song, I'd like to know, hey, this is the week we're going to talk about that. I would like to bring that up here when I'm up here. And go from there. So I think that would help them focus. Hey, this is neat. This is my song. Okay. All these songs will be scripturally based, so bring your Bibles to follow along. So this book that we purchased, and I don't remember what year we got these books, but a number of us, I don't know how many, looked through and kind of made sure we felt like we were getting a book full of songs that were based on Scripture, good songs that would praise and teach. And I know one of the things that I did was looked on the inside cover where it showed the editors. And I read through that list of editors, and I'm thinking about half of them I knew or knew something about them and felt like I trust that person's opinion very strongly. So I felt good about the book. So these are scripturally based songs, so we'll have the songbooks, the yellow ones too, by the way. We have some selections from that too. It's not just the blue one, the gray one. Okay, making sure I haven't forgotten anything. Okay, and everybody knows I won't be leading all the songs. Okay, so let's get started. We got a little bit of time left, and let's talk about at least a couple of songs Rodney's going to lead for us here in a bit. The first one is 596. So you can go ahead and turn there. And admittedly, I am not as prepared to discuss these songs in the detail. I will be prepared for future weeks, okay? It was kind of a busy afternoon, and Scott and I really didn't realize until this afternoon that Harris wasn't going to be able to make it. So I think it was one of those days neither of us got to our email very quickly. So I was getting gas, and he texted me and said, have you seen your email? No. So, but we'll go through a couple of songs here and talk about them. So 596, which is There's Sunshine in My Soul. The title itself, you know, it's not that somber feeling like Night with Evan Pinion. There's sunshine in my soul. So if you look at the title and you don't know anything about this song, what would be the first thing you would think of? There's sunshine in my soul. Why? Mason, why is there sunshine in your soul? Okay, good. You know the Lord. You got the Lord in your life. And if you look at the lyrics here, there is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky, for Jesus is my light. You can't even stare at the sun. You'll go blind. Don't anyone stare at the sun. Even if they say you've got special glasses you can do it with. I don't want that on my conscience. But you, it's so bright you can't stare at it. Did anyone see the moon this morning? Was that this morning? Yeah. That I talked about the moon? The moon was so bright this morning, I actually couldn't look at it for very long. But as bright and glorious as those things are, Jesus is more glorious and bright than anything that burns in the sky. So Jesus is my light, and he is glorious. It goes on to talk about music. There's music in my soul today. We like music. Typically, people like music. Music makes us happy. We listen to the things that we like. Whatever your genre happens to be, or whatever your era happens to be, you can find the songs that you like. It's not just the luck of the draw on the radio anymore. It's, you got Spotify, you got all kinds of things that you can find music you like. So music in our soul makes us happy. So this music in my soul today, a carol to my King. And I find this line to be very interesting. Jesus listening can hear the songs I cannot sing. What do you think that means? Jesus can hear the songs that I cannot sing. I know you're cold on this, but what would you think? Travis? I kind of thought that same thing as both of you conveyed there, and that is very powerful. And that's something that, you know, we can praise him about because he's that powerful, and we can teach each other that. You know, Jesus knows what's in your heart, and he can convey that to the Father. It also goes on to talk about gladness and hope and praise and love. Joy above, which is really the best blessing. There's gladness in my soul today and hope and praise and love for blessings which he gives me now for joys laid up above. We have blessings now. We have hope. We have joy now. But it really doesn't compare to what's laid up above, what's waiting on us in the end. So that's a great song. If you have trouble singing this song, I don't want to sing that. I'm mad. I'm mad at the world. I'm mad at my spouse. I'm irritated with my family. I had a bad day. I don't want to sing that song. Well, you need to take a step back, and you need to think about all the things that are in your life because of the fount of every blessing, and sing this song. The next song is 579. Which is Sanctuary, song that we learned not that many years ago. This is still, in my mind, a new song. It's probably not. We've probably been singing it for 15 years. I think things are new, and then all of a sudden you're driving a truck that's almost 20 years old. Sanctuary. So again, what is sanctuary? You might think of Quasimodo when you hear that. If you don't know what I mean by that, Google it, I guess. Read a book. Sanctuary, I mean, what do we think about?
Safe place.
And this is what Quasimodo was using it for, I think. What else? What kind of word is in that? Okay, sanctified, holy. which is really what we're called to be, right? Holy people, sanctified people. So we use the Lord to prepare us. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. You want to be the person that the Lord has called you out to be. God calls you to be holy because, why? He's holy. So we ask him to prepare us to be a sanctuary so we can be pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. All right, so living our lives, a living faith, a living hope. Talks about being upright and pure in my life. If I'm thinking about being sanctified, I'm being pure and upright. It talks about in the song to let him refine us. Lord, teach your children to stop the fighting, start uniting, all is one. Oh man, did you just not want to break into song last night? Who got past 15 minutes of that? My goodness. But, you know, start uniting, all is one. Stop the fighting. I'm a political animal. I love government. I love talking about it. I follow it. But I'm struggling with it mightily right now because it's just awful. I don't care who your candidate is or anything about it. Both sides are awful. There's a few players in there that are behaving themselves and being ladies and gentlemen, but mostly it's just a ton of fighting. And we just don't have to, we don't really have to deal with that. We have to live here. We're going to have to deal with whatever laws or things the Supreme Court hands down or whatever the case may be, executive orders for whomever the president's going to be. We don't really have to deal with it. Let's get together, loving forever, sanctuary for you. You were the one, Lord, who sent the Savior, heart and soul, Lord, for our land. It is you, Lord, who knows our weakness. You refine us with your hand. So the word refine there is important. We should let him refine us, make us pure. You know, refining gold and silver and, you know, make it pure. We want to be that. So to be a sanctuary, that's what we need to do. A couple of passages come to mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's see. Jonah, would you turn to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and I'll ask you to read that in a second. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. I thought of that passage in going through this song. And then Galatians 2:20. We need to live as Christ is living in us. We got to show that. And we'll be that sanctuary we're talking about. Okay, turn to 530. So I'm on the third one, Rodney. I've gotten them all correct, right? Okay. Copy down a number wrong or something, and you'd be back there panicking. So 530, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. Well, again, the title just stands right out. That's pretty easy to understand. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. Is there a passage that pops into your head when you read that title? There was to me anyway. Romans 1, okay. Along about verses 16 and 17. 17 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." So Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He talks about the power of it. So, not ashamed to own my Lord, nor to defend his cause and maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross, that sacrifice that he made to save us. Firm as his throne, his promise stands. We know his throne is firm. It's the unshakable kingdom, as talked about in Daniel. As firm as that is, his promise stands. And he can well secure what I've committed to his hands till the decisive hour. I'm going to commit my life to him. And he'll bring me through. If you commit your life to the Lord, he will bring you through at that decisive hour. So what promises? So go look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And in the first six verses of that, I think are just tremendous promises and comfort. Don't be afraid, he starts out. Mine says, let not your heart be troubled. But some versions say, don't be afraid. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way I'm going. Or you know where I am going. So he's promised. He left. He's promised he's going to come back for us. Okay? And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So, you know, what have you committed to his hands? You should be committing yourself. And we know that Christ is at God's right hand making intercession for us. John 14 and 16 in that same chapter. I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. Talking to his apostles there. But in Romans 8, a chapter that Anthony just mentioned a little bit ago, and in verse 34 of that chapter, so Romans 8, 34, he says, who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. So, Christ is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. And it talks about the New Jerusalem in verse 3. So if we do these things, we count on his promises, we commit ourselves to him, then he will own my worthless name before his Father's face. Remember, he's there with his Father, and he's interceding for us. And he says he'll, in the song, he'll own my worthless name before his Father's face. He also says he'll deny you if you deny him in Scripture. And in the New Jerusalem, talking about heaven, appoint for me a place. So in that kingdom of heaven. Okay, so those are the songs for tonight. We're going to do this every week. We'll get a little more participation as we go through. So appreciate everybody's patience with tonight and the participation that we did have. So at this time, we'll have Rodney come up, lead the songs. Let's praise God and our Savior with these songs. Let's teach and admonish one another. Let's feel the emotion of them and get the most out of it that we can in our offering up.